Another recording of Chew the Bible. It's your good friend A.A. Ron. Hope everyone's having a good start to their day. It is 2:09 in the afternoon. This lovely August 1st, 2022. Once again, shout out to my son. If and when he ever listens to this, happy birthday to you. The Big 12. Looking forward to hanging out with him on August 18th at the Lecrae concert. It's going to be dope. It's going to be cool. Fun times. It's interesting. Yeah, I was supposed to, originally I was like, yeah, I should take one of my kids with me. It's probably Aiden would love to go. But it was one of those interesting times where I was at this event, this volunteer event at my church. And I ran into this young lady that I go to church with. I don't want to say her name, but I've been kind of crushing on her for a while. Like, I don't know. And just attracted to her. I met her, yeah, about 2 years ago. But nothing. She was dating somebody at the time. I believe she's single now. Well, I don't know what her status is now. I did see her on the last time I was on the dating apps. I saw her on, what is it, Upward. I saw her profile on there. She never swiped right on me, though. I swiped right on her. Anyway, I saw her at church, and we talked briefly. She's always very nice. And I said I was going to the Lecrae concert. And I can't remember the exact conversation, but we tentatively made plans to go together. We'll just say that. But I had a feeling like she's going to find a way to get out of this. She doesn't really want to go. She was just saying that because she's very nice. Which some of us have the tendency to do when we're not very blunt or, you know, straightforward or direct. And so, yeah, she ended up canceling. It was during, I also saw that it's a concert during the week, a work night. She works a regular job, so it's like a Thursday night. Anyway, that's a long way of saying I'm going with my son, and I'm glad he's going with me instead of her. At one point, yeah, anyway, I won't say anything further about that. But yeah, I'm excited to take my son to the concert and just hang out with him. I'm supposed to hang out with them this weekend, so we'll probably go do something to like celebrate his birthday all together. We're hanging out on this Sunday. I'm supposed to pick them up at like, what at the time did I agree to pick them up? I think I said 1 o'clock. I'll have them from like 1 to 8 for 7 hours, so I'll figure out something fun to do. Celebrate him. Anyway, here we go. Jeremiah 18, the parable of the potter. This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down at once to the potter's house. That's the name of isn't that T.D. Jakes' church? Yeah, I think that's the name of his church. I'm gonna write that in here. I like writing little notes in my Bible. T.D. Jake's church ? I'll have to Google that later. All right. Go down at once to the potter's house. There I will reveal my words to you. Why the potter's house? So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working away at the wheel. Let's see here. Or on a pair of stones. One of my favorite classes, all-time classes in high school was ceramics. I'll never forget making my greatest work was this statue of Fat Albert. I wish I still had it. I think my mom got rid of it when she moved. That was my most prized possession, making that. I should have somehow held on to it. I love that Fat Albert. It looks so much like him, too. In my head, it did. I think I made my mom a vase too, and like a little ashtray. I'm trying to think, is there anything else I've made? I definitely, the main thing I remember is making that Fat Albert. That was so fun. Anyway, all right, but the jar, let me go back to verse 3. So I went down to the potter's house, and there he was working away at the wheel. But the jar that he was making from the clay became flawed in the potter's hand. So he made it into another jar, as it seemed right for him to do. Verse 5, the word of the Lord came to me, house of Israel, can I not treat you as this potter treats his clay? God is powerful with the metaphors. You got bars. Bars. This is the Lord's declaration. Just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. God uses this same analogy or story in somewhere in the New Testament, I believe. It's also referred to Genesis 2:7 and Isaiah 43:1, Isaiah 64:8. I'm going to go back and read that some more later. Oh, anyway, talking about that. Anyway, all right. Verse 7, at one moment I might announce concerning, sometimes I really want to geek out in the Bible. Like, I want to just stop the podcast and just do some research on my own. But then for the sake of time and just getting, I'm going to do that on my own time. But just continue on through this recording. That would just be a fun research exercise. Look up, I'll make a note, look up all scriptures that use this imagery, analogy, / metaphor. That'll be a fun exercise. And to say, Lord, speak to me. What are you trying to say through this? How, in what ways am I like this clay? What areas are you molding in me? You know, what areas have I made it harder for you to do an easy job? Because you imagine, yeah, when I was making that Fat Albert statue, Fat Albert started talking to me. He's like, ouch. No. Or telling me, my eyeball shouldn't look like that. My hair shouldn't look, my head don't look like that. My forehead don't look like that. My foot don't look like that. My legs don't do that. I don't want to be a Fat Albert. I want to be an ashtray today. I want to be a vase. I want to be, you name it. What if Fat Albert started talking to you and doing that? In a lot of ways, we can be that way. We can be like these children of Israel, talking Fat Albert, telling God, the creator, our creator, the person making us, that we don't like what he's doing. We don't like what he's molding us into. All right. It's interesting, too, because pots have to go through the kiln, which is the firing process to get fire. It gets really hot. I never actually got a chance to see that. It's the one part I did not see. We had a kiln in our art room, but I never saw that. I just remember the teacher said, I'm putting your pots in the kiln, and the next whenever they were ready, she gave them to us, and then we could like put a glaze over and paint them things. I don't fully remember. I don't remember all the details of that process, but vaguely remember it. But yes, once it's molded and you can fire it up, yeah, it's cemented. It's hardened. You can't change it anymore. Only way to change it is you have to break it, which is a whole nother conversation. All right, let's keep going. The word of the Lord came to me, house of Israel. Can I treat you as this potter treats his clay? This is the Lord's declaration. Just like clay in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, house of Israel. At one moment, I might announce concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will uproot, tear down, and destroy it. However, if that nation about which I have made the announcement turns from its evil, I will relent concerning the disaster I have planned to do to it. At another time, I might announce concerning a nation or a kingdom that I will build and plant it.
However, if it does what is evil in my sight by not listening to me, I will relent concerning the good. If it does what is evil in my sight by not listening to me, I will relent concerning the good I had said I would do to it. So now say to the men of Judah and to the residents of Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Look, I'm about to bring harm to you and make plans against you. Turn now each from your evil way and correct your ways and your deeds. But they will say, it's hopeless. We will continue to follow our plans, and each of us will continue to act according to the stubbornness of his evil heart. Powerful stuff. Deluded Israel. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. Ask among the nations, who has heard things like these? Virgin Israel has done a most horrible thing. Does the snow of Lebanon ever leave the highland crags? Or does cold water flowing from a distance ever fail? Yet my people have forgotten me. They burn incense to worthless idols that make them stumble in their ways on the ancient roads and make them walk on new paths, not the highway. They have made their land a horror, a perpetual object of scorn. All who pass by it will be appalled and shake their heads. I will scatter them before the enemy like the east wind. I will show them my back and not my face on the day of their calamity. Whoa. Plot against Jeremiah. Then certain ones said, come, let's make plans against Jeremiah, for instruction will never be lost from the priest, or counsel from the wise, or a word from the prophet. Come, let's denounce him and pay no attention to all his words. Pay attention to me, Lord. Hear what my opponents are saying. Should good be repaid with evil? Yet they have dug a pit for me. I've heard that phrase before. David said that. Remember how I stood before you to speak good on their behalf, to turn your anger from them? Therefore, hand their children over to famine and give them over to the power of the sword. This is what's crazy.
When I read this, it's like Jeremiah once in one breath was like praying for their mercy on these folks, and then they turn on him. So it's like now he's saying, God punish them. I don't get it. Isn't that like, yeah, where's turning the other cheek? Where is like praying for your enemies? I don't know. I think this is where sometimes I wrestle with certain stories and scriptures in the Bible scenarios, because it's like, hold on, isn't that going against what Jesus would do? But Jeremiah is not Jesus. So thank God Jeremiah isn't Jesus. Thank you, he's not our savior. Because Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jeremiah says, where did he say? Therefore, hand their children over to famine and give them over to the power of the sword. Let their wives become childless and widowed, their husbands slain by deadly disease, their young men struck down by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring raiders against them. Jesus said the opposite. Father, forgive them, for they know not what. Honestly, most of us, if we were in Jeremiah's position, we would have the same attitude. At least I was speaking for myself. Like, God, you see what's happening? Defend me. Do this, 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 and this, please, Lord. Versus how many of us will have the attitude of Jesus saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Turn the cheek. Not many of us, as self-righteous as we like to think we are. For they have dug a pit to capture me. And let me go back to verse 22. Let a cry be heard from their houses when you suddenly bring raiders against them. For they have dug a pit to capture me and have hidden snares for my feet. But you, Lord, this Jesus had similar. He said a similar phrase. Said similar words about pits and snares. I'm going to look that up later. But you, Lord, know all their deadly plots against me. Do not wipe out their iniquity. Do not blot out their sin before you. Let them be forced to stumble before you. Deal with them in the time of your anger. All right, let's read these Tony Evans notes and get going. Just as a potter has freedom to make what he chooses from his clay, so the sovereign Lord has freedom to save or destroy any nation based on its response to his pronouncements. Nineveh comes to mind as an example of God relenting in judgment when the Ninevites humbled themselves with repentance in response to Jonah's preaching. See Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 through 10. We haven't read Jonah yet. We got one more. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We got to read Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, then Jonah. It says 3, 6, 7, yeah, 8, 7 more books, then we get to Jonah. The people of Jesus' day were an example of rejecting God's word, in this case, the incarnate word, and turning blessing into cursing. See Matthew chapter 12, verse 41. Judah's rebellion against God was so shocking that even those in the nations around her had never heard of such a thing as a people refusing to worship and follow their God. God's destruction of Judah would be so complete that any traveler who passed by would be horrified and shake his head. The prophet's enemies launched a slander campaign against him, hoping to smear Jeremiah's reputation so that no one would take his message seriously. Jeremiah had heard God say time and again that Judah was beyond redemption in terms of warding off the coming invasion and captivity. Here he steps back, so to speak, and says, God, pour out your judgment on my enemies, who are also your enemies. I've done all I can for them. Judge them as their sins deserve. Thank you, God, that none of us are beyond your redemption. Lord, we need you. We need you in every part of our lives. God, we need your help. We need your salvation. Thank you, Lord. This is the day that you have made. We can and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you that you continue to surround us with your angels as I go out here and pick up folks. Fill us with your power, your love, your joy, your spirit. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, rule and reign in our hearts. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen. All right, y'all. I'll holla. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned or missed the mark or veered off the path and fallen short of the glory of God or God's perfect standard. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of the cost of that sin is death, or eternal separation from God. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love toward us, or showed his love toward us, in that while we were still yet sinners, Jesus Christ died for us. Romans 10, verse 9 through 10 says that if we will confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God has raised him from the dead, we will, not might be, not maybe, we will be saved. For with our hearts we believe we are now in right standing with God, and with our mouths we confess that we are now saved. Lastly, Romans 10, verse 13 says that whosoever, anybody or everybody, who calls upon the name of the Lord, they will be saved. So if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, or you've walked away from him and you would like to rededicate your life to him, you can just simply say, dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I know my sin deserves to be punished. I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died for me and rose from the grave. I want to turn from my sin and trust Jesus Christ alone as my Savior. Thank you for the forgiveness and everlasting life I can now have through faith in Jesus. In Jesus' mighty precious name I pray. Amen. Lord Jesus.